Brazil taking on Holland in the third place playoff tonight. Obviously, it's not somewhere the host nation would have wanted to have been, but where to next for a country whose economic issues have been brought to light through those street protests many people have seen surrounding the very hosting of the tournament itself? We're joined by columnist and economist Dan O'Brien and also by Joe Hogan from OpenNet, an Irish company that's doing big business in Brazil. Dan, I might bring you in first because I know selflessly and purely in the interest of research, you took yourself off to one of the world's most beautiful, biologically diverse and entertaining nations. What did you find when you got to Brazil?
Brazil is one of the great countries of the world. It's in so many ways, everything from the diversity of the landscapes to the music to the people to the food. It really is. It's a fantastic place to visit. I don't think it's such a great place to live. There's a famous saying about Brazil that it's tomorrow's country. It always has been. And that it's never lived up to its potential. In the 70s, it went through a boom period and things developed. But really, in the 80s and the 90s, the country stagnated. Things have changed again. Turn of the century, there's been consistent, strong growth over the past, say, 10, 12, 14 years. And things have been on the up and there has been an improvement. But the country still has a lot of weaknesses and a lot of things to get over. And there are questions now about whether they're going back into a period of stagnation.
To give people a sneak peek, and I know you have a column on this in the Sunday Independent tomorrow, one of the things that seemed to come home to you in the piece was infrastructure. I mean, you mentioned this point that if you compare Brazil to China, Brazil feels poorer, even though it isn't.
Yeah, well, per capita incomes in average, so that's an average income in Brazil, is still 50% higher than China. But everywhere you go in Brazil, you just feel the infrastructure, whether it's the airports, whether it's the roads, very different from certainly the big cities in China. And they've always had a problem with this sort of thing. And you saw it with the World Cup. Not all of the ancillary infrastructure got built for around the World Cup. And there was questions about getting the stadiums built. So there is a state capacity problem. There's always been this problem. The government is inefficient, isn't able to get things done. And this has been one of the things that's held the country back.
Joe, you're doing business there. I'm sure those are some things that you see in the day-to-day practicalities.
We do, yeah. I mean, if we're there 8 years now. We have about 40 people in Brazil. We sell communication systems to mobile telephone companies. So in one respect, it's more comfortable because we're dealing with executives that speak English. But our Brazilian staff, at the engagement level, when we fly in and come out, we're meeting with the senior execs. But then on a day-to-day basis, our staff are dealing directly with the engineers in the various companies that we work with. But you do see how long it takes you to get a taxi. You don't want to be there. You'll find out why Rio de Janeiro is called, you know, the January River when it starts raining and you can't get a taxi. The buses are crowded. You know, it's not often that you find yourself on a jammed bus in Rio on a business trip.
I mean you saw several of the World Games in the World Cup where many seats in sold-out stadiums empty while people were still stuck in traffic jams trying to get there.
Yeah, and somebody, I did this one particular airport we were talking about, myself and Dan, before this, in São Paulo, that is really not representative of the type of wealth that Brazil has, and you know, the seventh largest economy in the world, and this does feel kind of third worldy. It does take a long time to get around, but then you plan for that in your trips, and also again, it's a fantastic country to visit. So I've visited many countries, and some of them you come back and go, that wasn't that much fun. That was a tough trip. Brazil is always a great trip, and the geography of the places like Rio, then you see, you know, some of the poverty in Belo and in São Paulo, it's just very hard to know where you are at any one time. It's from Arklow to Dundalk to Maynooth in size, and it's just all built up. So you can be lost in the maze in there, and it just shows you how insignificant Ireland is in one respect.
It's a point that we've heard a lot of discussion on a global scale, Dan, but inequality seems to be something that's writ large across both Brazil's past and its present.
Yeah, it is. But by any sort of measure of the incomes of the top and the bottom, it's one of the most unequal societies in the world. And that is in keeping. Latin America is a very unequal part of the world. Latin America and Africa are the most unequal parts of the world. And you very much see that in interacting with people. You know, the business community, you very much get a sense of an elite that's completely divorced from you know, the small middle class are the vast majority of people who have very little. And that's one of the things. It's not a very meritocratic country. The elite has what it holds. The education system is appalling there. One of the things I was invited to go and give a talk about once down there was sort of issues around education systems and how that can improve meritocracy and economic performance. And it really is the education system is infamously bad, and it doesn't allow people to sort of the social elevator, to get on that social elevator and get out of, you know, poverty, which is good obviously for people, but it's also good for the wider economy.
We are talking about a country that's not long a democracy, though. Are we giving Brazil enough credit for the strides that it's made since democracy, since the ending of that brutal military dictatorship?
Yeah, well, you know, the relationship between political systems and economic performance is a complex one. You know, we have China, which has grown incredibly, and it's still an autocratic society. So that's a complex one. It would seem to be the case that governance, the quality of governance, has improved. So, you know, Brazil, like many countries in Latin America, had a history of hyperinflation, had a history of, you know, possible default or default. Its economic management appears to have improved. Whether that's linked to democracy or not, you know, that's the difficult question. But it certainly would give you the impression that the politics has improved, and that has helped the economic management and things like targeted social programs, which are helping people get out of poverty.
Dan O'Brien, thank you very much. And also thanks to Joe Hogan from OpenNet doing business in Brazil there. And I'm sure with many disappointed employees who'll be weeping their way through that third and fourth place match and wondering about what might have been if they had a decent centre half.
The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Electric Ireland, Ireland's leading business electricity provider.